We're now more than 200 days into the Gaza genocide. Most, if not all, of the living population in Gaza still suffers from forced starvation, and disease is spreading like a wildfire. The main story this week saw 392 bodies found in mass graves outside the Nasser hospital, many of which showing signs of torture as well as mutilation. Meanwhile, students around the world have begun protesting en masse, with universities in the US brutally cracking down on campus solidarity encampments. We break down this and more on this episode of This Week in Palestine. So, beginning with the main story of this week. As I mentioned, hundreds of bodies were found outside of the Nasser hospital in the Gaza Strip. All of these bodies were found in a mass grave, and many of which were mutilated. Now, some of the signs of torture and some of the barbaric acts that may have happened include handcuffing, many had bullet wounds in the head, many were wearing prisoners' uniforms, many were stripped of their clothes, many just had general signs of beating and torture. And there are even some reports of individuals being placed into these mass graves while still alive. And so, just to spell this out to you very clearly, the Israeli army buried people alive in Gaza, innocent civilians, all of these people. There is no sign of any of these individuals being part of Hamas or any other resistance group. These are civilians who have been placed into mass graves, who have been buried alive, who have been killed, executed by the Israeli army. The response to this by the international community so far has been the call for an independent investigation. Of course, how many times have we seen this before? How many times have we heard these calls by the international community, by the UN, by the EU, and now human rights groups around the world? The Israelis never give in, and they will always be the judge of their own crimes. So is it likely whether we're going to see an independent investigation? No, most likely not. This message was even conveyed also by the former head of Human Rights Watch, where he said this would require simply cooperation by both sides, but Israel doesn't want to allow these kinds of independent investigations. It just wants to sweep the issue under the rug. And that's something that we have seen since the beginning of this entire genocide, and even before, of course. One of the clearest examples of this from before October 7th that I can think of just off the top of my head is the assassination of the veteran journalist Shirin Abu Akleh, who still hasn't gotten any form of accountability or justice for her assassination nearly 2 years ago. But back to Gaza, we have had reports this week from Al Jazeera that it's believed that up to 700,000 Palestinians just in the north of Gaza are being affected by unprecedented spreads of infectious diseases. As we know by now, the majority of the Palestinian population in Gaza has been pushed to the southern tip of Gaza, in Rafah. And so of the population that remains in the north of Gaza, pretty much everybody is currently being affected by infectious diseases. Now, this is pretty much caused by the environmental contamination, the ecocide that Israel has committed in Gaza on top of the genocide, the destruction of the complete environment, whether it's the farmlands or just everything that has been turned into rubble now in the last over 200 days now. There are mountains of waste and hundreds of mass graves across Gaza right now, and so this is only fueling the spread of infectious diseases. To make things worse, of course, we know that only around 11 of the hospitals in Gaza are partially functioning, not even functioning at full capacity. Of course, there is very little food, there is very little water, and the supplies, the medications. We've seen reports of doctors this entire time over the last 6 months having to reuse equipment that in a normal hospital, in a normal situation, not under a genocide and a complete siege, they're having to reuse this equipment that would only be used once. And this, of course, means that the recovery of all the injuries, of course, these are not just simple scrapes or cuts and bruises. These are lifelong injuries, and they are being treated by equipment that is simply not adequate for the amount of destruction that there is. But of course, because Israel doesn't end this murderous siege of Gaza, we will just continue to see this sort of thing occurring. And to make things worse, we've had a heat wave in the last week in Gaza. We've had 40 degree temperatures, 40 degrees Celsius, that would be around 104 Fahrenheit. The summer is approaching and millions of people are cramped into tents. They're completely overcrowded with very little water. This precisely is the status quo that Israel is trying to now create with Gaza. It's not a sustainable status quo, but it is a status quo in which Gaza is heavily, completely reliant on international aid, the very little international aid that does trickle in. And it is punishing the Gazan population for something they had zero control over. On the topic of aid now, we've seen that the European Union has announced a new 73 million aid plan to Gaza. But what good is this aid if it's not being allowed in? Again, we just need to reiterate, Israel is not allowing these trucks in. That's the problem. Israel is maintaining this murderous siege. There are hundreds, if not thousands, there are thousands of trucks waiting to enter Gaza with aid coming from across the world, and it's simply not entering because the Israelis are not allowing it. Another topic or question on everybody's minds is the impending invasion of Rafah in the southern Gaza Strip. So is this going to happen? What we've seen in the last week or two is Israel constructing new military outposts on the fence of Gaza and the outskirts of the Gaza Strip. There are now 9 outposts, each within 3 miles of Gaza. And so what we're seeing is a build-up of military activity around the Gaza Strip. And so it's fueling fears that there is an invasion looming, which in itself is likely to be a tactic by the Israelis to bring to the table, to force Hamas to relinquish some of the demands that they have when negotiating for a ceasefire. They're trying to weaken their hand during these negotiations. Now, a ceasefire specifically doesn't seem to be coming anytime soon. But now to our second main story of the week. Something that we've seen growing in the US have been these pro-Palestinian protests, encampments outside universities by these students of the universities in a bid to pressure their university to divest from companies that are profiting off the Gaza genocide. Now, it started specifically at Columbia University, but slowly across the week, we've now seen many different universities have protests pop up by students who are not happy with the fact that their university has ties to the genocide and is really linked to companies that are directly profiting off the genocide. And so whilst these protests, these students have been painted in the media as villains, and of course the usual allegations of anti-Semitism, the demands are very simple of these students. And that is simply, as I said, to divest from any companies that are profiting off the Gaza genocide and any companies that are providing Israel with weapons or support, and simply on the level of freedom of speech, ending the reprisals against any students who have spoken about Palestine, basically. Freedom of speech always seems to be a hot topic in the US because it's supported by a lot of people, apparently, but a lot of these people who support freedom of speech when it comes to Palestine are no longer in support of freedom of speech. Now, the reason these protests and encampments have been getting so much media attention is because of the involvement of the police. Now, the police in the US is very notorious for taking a long time to come to the scene in the wake of a shooting. They take their time, but when it's coming up to protesting Palestine, they arrive instantly. And not only do they arrive quickly, but they also brutally crack down. They've arrested many, many students, and they have beaten professors. We've seen videos of, we've seen them beat students as well. This is a police crackdown on behalf of another country. And it's even gotten to the point that Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, has gotten involved. And of course, he's calling these protesters anti-Semitic and intentionally intimidating Jewish students. However, many of the organizers of these protests are Jewish themselves, and so these allegations of anti-Semitism are nothing but rubbish. Let's not get it twisted. These are peaceful protests taking place at universities to protest nothing but the genocide taking place in Gaza. We will have an episode coming up very soon about this, and so I won't go into too much more detail. You'll have more information soon. But to end the episode, as always, we like to give you some headlines of other notable news that has happened throughout the last week. One of the big pieces of news, I guess, is that Biden signed into law an aid bill for $26 billion. However, this isn't going to Palestine, make no mistake. This is going to Israel. This is more weapons. As they, at face value, apparently disapprove of Israel's actions, they continue to give them weapons, continue to give them intelligence and anything that Israel would need to further this genocide. The US is very much complicit. In addition, Jamaica and Barbados have officially recognized the Palestinian state. This is now becoming more and more common. We're seeing many countries, European ones, for example, we've already spoken about Spain, Ireland, and some others looking to recognize the Palestinian state. And finally, in developing news, we are now about to hear the ICJ's ruling on Nicaragua's case against Germany, seeking to explicitly make Germany complicit in this genocide as they have been selling Israel weapons, military assistance during this genocide, which under international law makes Germany complicit. So we will see the results of that very soon. But on that note, we'll end the episode here and we'll come back to you very soon with some more episodes. Thank you for listening.